Back here at our CBS News Space Center, the count to 10 minutes and 27 seconds to liftoff of Gemini 7 with all systems go, the recovery network and tracking network go, the astronauts are ready, everything is green, as they say at Cape Kennedy, for the flight of Gemini 7, which will set a new record in space of some 14 days. Jack King is the voice of Gemini Control at Cape Kennedy. He's coming on now to keep us up to date in the countdown. Or is coming on in a minute, I'm advised. He was supposed to come on now, but he'll be in a minute, for the reports from the blockhouse, from Gemini Control, as the count progresses toward liftoff. This great 90-foot Titan II booster that has sent all of our previous Gemini flights into successful orbit will lift the 4-ton Gemini capsule to a orbit that is expected of 100 miles in its lowest point to 210 miles in its highest point. It will remain in that elliptical orbit for several days with perhaps minor corrections until they are sure in Gemini 7 that Gemini 6 is going to get off, in which case they'll expend the necessary fuel to get into a circular orbit and await Gemini 6 185 miles up. And now Jack King at Gemini Control. I'm advised a 30-second delay before we hear from Jack King. He's going to give us the countdown to a liftoff. Then we'll hear from Paul Heaney at Houston. As you know, a couple of years ago, they established the Manned Spacecraft Center in Houston, Texas, from which all of our space flights are now controlled after launch, the launch controlled from Cape Kennedy there in Florida, some 60 miles east of Orlando. When these men lift off this morning, they do not anticipate returning to the surface of the Earth for some 17 days and 18 hours, with splashdown expected, if all is normal.
This is Gemini Launch Control coming
8:25
up on T-minus 8 minutes
Here
and counting. Mark, T-minus 8 minutes and counting on the Gemini 7 mission. We have just gone past one of our major milestones during the final phases of the countdown. That is at the 7 or 8 minute mark when we make our final check of all elements in the countdown to ensure that we are in a go condition. In the countdown manual itself, we asked for a green light, and we did receive a green light from all elements as they reported go. All systems still going very well. Our winds in the launch area have picked up a little bit to about 10 knots. However, that is not expected to have any effect on the mission or any effect on the condition of the pad following launch. We're now at T-minus 7 minutes and 14 seconds and counting. This is Gemini Launch Control.
I got the cue. 10 knots isn't too much of a wind down there. It would take almost twice that to even bring up active consideration, presumably, of any danger to the spacecraft and the booster on launch. That huge 109 feet of booster and spacecraft hooked together can take considerable buffeting from the wind, of course, particularly in the slower portions of the liftoff, and they don't like to have the wind much over 18 or 20 knots. But as Chuck von Fremd explained to us from the Cape a little bit earlier, they really are writing these mission rules now as they go along. The damage to the pad is another thing. That would believe take perhaps 25 or 30 knots of wind, some 2.5 to 3 times what they've got now, to really cause serious fire and blast damage to the pad. We can only use one pad. We only have one pad prepared for the Titan II for manned space launches, and that is why this pad itself has to be preserved and then cleaned up in order to get Gemini 6 off in the record time of 9 days. It's T-minus 5 minutes and 50 seconds and counting. The computers are clicking away at the Houston Manned Space Center, at Goddard Space Center, at Greenbelt, Maryland, and there at the Cape. They're involved in just about every phase of the Man in Space program. IBM, the makers of the Gemini onboard computer, have another type on the ground that shows clearly the sequence of events taking place after that Titan rocket lifts off of Pad 19. Now, what you'll see on the screen is the launch sequence, four times as fast as it really happens. The legend on the side tells where the rocket is and how much time has elapsed that each event takes place.
We can hardly see it. Can't
read any of this. This is the launch board, which is telling us what is happening.
Miss King, what are you going to do?
There is the... You can read that as well as I there, telling you just what the booster and the capsule are doing. The engine's about to shut down. That's booster engine cutoff, BECO, BECO. End pitch program means it's not turning downward any longer. There is SECO, secondary engine firing, and booster separation. At this point, the spacecraft should be at its perigee, or low point in its orbit, and approaching the 17,500 miles an hour it requires to get into orbit. SECO is secondary engine cutoff. It has cut off, and now we'll see the separation of the secondary engine, the Titan being a two-stage engine, and the capsule is on its way. It is T-minus 3 minutes and 23 seconds and counting at Cape Kennedy. You see the Titan II and the Gemini spacecraft atop it, pad 19. The weather clearing somewhat. You can tell that a little bit of sun is coming through the heavy cloud layer at around 8,000 feet.
This is Gemini Launch Control.
Jack King.
T-minus 3 minutes and counting. T-minus three. Everything's still looking good from the blockhouse and at the Mission Control Center in Houston at the present time as we continue our final checks of both the launch vehicle and spacecraft. Some final guidance checks with the launch vehicle are going on at the present time. We are still getting good reports and we have the green lights on in the consoles. Everything is looking good. T-minus 2 minutes and 33 seconds and counting.
Less than 2.5 minutes before the blast-off of Borman and Lovell for 2 weeks in space. And then if all goes well, 9 days from today, we'll be covering the launch of Gemini 6 from that same pad for a 1 or 2 day mission in space and a meeting out there at 185 miles high and 17,500 miles an hour of these two spacecraft. Here's Jack King again, Cape Kennedy.
This is Gemini Launch Control, T-minus 1 minute and 41 seconds and counting. In the last several minutes of the countdown, all conditions still looking good. Now T-minus 90 seconds and counting, T-minus 90 seconds and counting. As we proceed down to the final moments of the countdown, the launch vehicle's first stage engines will ignite and build up some 430,000 pounds of thrust. When 77% of this thrust is reached, the launch vehicle is released from the pad. All this takes a matter of seconds, some 2.5 to 3 seconds. T-minus 1 minute and counting. T-minus 1 minute and counting. T-minus 50. T-minus 40 seconds and counting. The astronauts have been alerted that the pre-valves on stage two that permit the oxidizer to come down into the engine compartment will be open. T-minus 30 seconds and counting. T-minus 25. T-minus 20. 15. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition.
Engine to start. We have a liftoff at 30 minutes and about 5 seconds after the hour. Plus 10 seconds.
Greater than arrow. Seat at this angle, but it's pitching over now to achieve the proper direction for that window in the sky where it must achieve orbit. Looks like a good flight so far.
The vehicle is now across the beach.
At its maximum dynamic pressure, that's where it takes the maximum buffeting, the booster in the craft taking the greatest stress.
1 minute, 30 seconds.
They've gone through the maximum dynamic pressure stage. That's at 40,000 feet high, 7 2/3 miles down.
1 minute, 40 seconds, thrust very slightly low, as much as only about 2% low, quite acceptable.
Low thrust would mean...
Coming up on 2 minutes.
If it were low enough,
Mark,
that the
minutes.
Maximum speed could not be reached
our
to achieve orbit.
3,600 miles per hour. The G-force is 3.3.
If that happened,
the... Crew
the
their go for staging, which should occur in a very few seconds.
If that happened, the crew, as high as they are now, would simply separate from the booster, turn around, and make a normal re-entry. However, as Paul Haney says, there seems to be enough power to achieve orbit. First stage cutoff should come now in about 8 seconds.
2 minutes, 30 seconds.
This is a critical point. We should be hearing for first stage cutoff now. Just a moment.
We've got staging. Stage two thrust looks good.
First stage has cut off. Second stage has fired. Another critical point. And the flight is going well.
2 minutes, 50 seconds.
Second stage has ignited.
Borman reports the radio guidance system has locked on at 3 minutes into the flight.
That's right, on schedule two. The second stage...
Velocity 7,100 miles per hour.
Second stage runs now until 5 minutes and 41 seconds after the launch. That's another 2.5 minutes from now, and must boost that speed up another 10,000 miles an hour to a total of 17,500 miles. That great 430,000-pound thrust.
3 minutes, 30 seconds. All of the flight controllers here passing along good flight reports. The words don't vary much at all. They all say, looks good, looks good, looks good.
Great, and it looks like Gemini 7 is well on the way up to this stage. Those 430,000 pounds of thrust are taken to lift the spacecraft out of the atmosphere, the heavy atmosphere that holds all of us here on the ground and resists the attempt to pierce
coming
it with
on
one of these
4 minutes.
Spacecraft. Now the 100,000 pounds
flight.
Thrust
velocity
of the second
now
stage.
Up to 9,200 miles per hour.
100,000 pounds thrust of the second stage.
To stand by for a status check here.
Can build us this
He's
flight up to 17,500 miles an hour.
Control positions in about 10 seconds, each reported go. Capsule communicator Elliot C is passing the go to the crew at 4 minutes at 25 seconds into the flight. Communications are a little noisy coming from the spacecraft. That's not unusual during the launch phase.
We're just a minute from second stage cutoff. That's the end of the powered flight. Orbital insertion comes then just
G-force
20 seconds.
G-force is building again up to 3.7, our velocity, 12,800 miles per hour. We're standing by for 0.8, which is the achievement of 80% of the desired velocity, to put this 8,000-pound spacecraft into orbit. Five minute 20 seconds, Elliott C says you're right down the slot, Gemini 7. We're standing by for a second stage cutoff.
Which
we've got it,
5 seconds.
Seco at 5 minutes, 40 seconds.
The Gemini spacecraft is now separated, should be separating with the second stage cutoff.
At the moment of second stage cutoff, the G-forces reach a max of 7.2. Flight director says we are going the mission at 6 minutes into the flight.
It's a go for the mission, a perfect countdown, and apparently a perfect liftoff. Right at this moment, they're being inserted in orbit.
See the spacecraft telemetry showing thrusting, getting off the booster.
This simulation is of our data synthesis machine, a computerized spacecraft model out of McDonnell Aircraft, simulating all the maneuvers. The lights simulate thruster firing.
Corbin reports he has the booster in sight, and it looks good.
He's turning around to keep that booster in sight, following behind him there.
7 minutes into the flight.
He's going to try to keep station on the booster within 100, 300 feet of the booster for some 25 minutes to test guidance control.
The crew reports that the booster is venting. They can see gas escaping from it. They're probably a very few feet away from it. The plan was to thrust very slightly off the booster, turn around, and then retard their thrust and go back toward the booster to stay within 100 or so feet of it during this early part of the flight.
That's the maneuver you saw just a moment ago on our simulator there as it turned around.
C has just passed up to the crew the size, the first cut on this orbit of Gemini 7. It is as follows, 87 miles perigee, 178 miles apogee. Those are nautical mile values. 87 miles perigee, 178 miles apogee.
On our table here, of the nautical value.
8 minutes, 10 seconds into the flight.
That's just about what they hope to achieve, 87 nautical miles.
Still somewhat broken, more broken than most of the Gemini flights in the past, but readable.
87 nautical miles is right at the 100-mile point, statute miles, which they hope to achieve for the perigee. 178 nautical miles is just slightly below the 210 miles.
They're already cleaning off the pad down of the Cape, getting ready to put Wally Schirra and Tom Stafford's booster and vehicle out there.
That's indeed what they plan to do. They plan to be on that pad almost before the flames of the blast-off had left it to begin cleaning it up.
At 9 minutes into the flight, our controller here advises they've used about 15 pounds total fuel so far in adjusting so they can fly a formation with their launch vehicle for this early part of the flight. We have the tape for you of the conversation during the launch phase where, as I say, it's quite rocky and a little spotty, but if you listen closely, I think you can pick up the voices of Jim Lovell and Frank Borman. We'll play that tape for you now.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Lift off. Real good. Roger all. Roger, pitch. 50 seconds. Roger. Roger, 5.6 on the cabin.
Later.
1 plus 40. Roger, mode 2. Roger, update. This is looking real good here, Gemini 7.
Roger, stage 2, go.
Roger, stage 2, go. Roger, update. Roger, staging. Roger, guidance initiated and fuel cell delta P lights. Roger, delta P light out. Guidance is looking still very good here, Gemini 7. Gemini 7, Houston, you're go from the ground. Roger. Guidance is right on, Gemini 7. Stand by for point 8. Point 8, V over VR. Right down the slot, Gemini 7. Roger, Seco. Gemini 7, Houston, you are go. That's the best sim we've had.
Those were the voices of astronauts Frank Borman and Jim Lovell as they rode their four-ton spacecraft Gemini 7 up 100 miles above the Earth and downrange across the South Atlantic into orbit, and their first of a scheduled 207 trips around the Earth before they return 2 weeks from today for the longest flight man has ever made in space. And back at Cape Kennedy, as these men began their long trip, the technicians are already beginning work on pad 19. They're repairing the blast and fire damage, the burned ends of umbilical cords, those hinges that may have been seared, replacing what equipment has been torn away by the blast, so that sometime in the early hours tomorrow morning, they can bring out of hangar Double A, it's called, some 2.5 miles from pad 19 there at the Cape, the Titan that will take Gemini 6, it is hoped, into space to chase Gemini 7 and eventually meet up and rendezvous with it. They hope to get the first stage of that Gemini 6 Titan into the erector, lying there prone at pad 19 about 2:30 perhaps tomorrow morning. And then sometime later tomorrow to put the second stage on and to mate it up with the Gemini spacecraft. All of these stages and the spacecraft have been in bond since October 25th. Since the Gemini 6 flight had to be scrubbed, and they should be ready to go.